The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I wanted to open up with something that's not on my list, but did anybody hear the Gopher game yesterday? You know, they interviewed the kicker at the end of the game, the guy that won the game with a field goal with a few minutes left to play. And they said, well, have you ever done that before? And he says, no, never done that before. And have you ever won a game before? And he's with the kick in the last few minutes. He says, no. And did you ever kick the football that far before? It was 52 yards. And he says, no. And then he interrupts the broadcaster and he says, but first I want to give all the glory to God. And that was on KFAN. And for those of you that listen to KFAN in the morning, which I don't do very much anymore, that's not the kind of show they do. So there were people all across Minnesota that heard something amazing, and that was good. That blessed me. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about forgiveness. I'd like to start by kind of a childhood memory. What I understand and remember about forgiveness was when I was a kid, the way it started off was, if two of the kids in the house are having a problem and if they're having an argument, that what would happen next is that some adult would come along and they'd just say, all right, come on, shake hands. All right, then. And that was it. And that was the apology and the forgiveness and all that. Just come on. I know you're fighting with your sister, but just shake hands. All right. And that's the truth, by the way. There was a whole bunch of apologies when I was growing up in my house. Lots of I'm sorrys. Some of them mandated, some of them not. Some of them might even have been a little bit heartfelt, but they were just I'm sorrys. All right, then. And so we just kind of moved on from there. We're going to talk a little bit today about other components of an apology. And in fact, it's a kind of a reconciliation. And it's something that Renee and I teach in LAM. For those of you that haven't looked inside the bulletins, there's actually a sheet in there that talks about reconciliation and a sort of forgiveness that's taught in LAM and also in Single Life Workshop. And we're going to be using that a little bit later on. But just want to say something that we, so as it relates to me regarding forgiveness, early on in my years of sobriety, by the way, I'm 24 years sober today. And as important as that sounds, 17 years ago today, I had my first date with Renee, which is more important to me. But there is a connection there. The reality is that if I wasn't 24 years sober today, I wouldn't have met Renee. That just wouldn't have happened. But in any event, in that sobriety, in those days, the first 7 years I did that sort of thing, as in not drinking anymore, the first 7 years we would go to AA meetings, and I was pretty strict and religious about it. I wouldn't miss it, no way. And during the course of this particular, it was a secular, interestingly enough, a secular AA meeting, but during the course of the meeting, they would do the Lord's Prayer. And for those of you, you don't have to raise your hands. I mean, I was in AA, but you know that many of the AA groups do that. And they'll say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And that last part I didn't even know, because in my church we didn't even have that ending part there. But that forgiveness part where I yawned for 7 years, week in and week out. Forgiveness. And then I yawned. And eventually it caught up to me, and I came to realize that the enemy was trying to unplug me and the Lord was trying to get my attention. He was trying to point me about forgiveness, and it is all about forgiveness, and it is our ministry. Reconciliation is something that Alan Ross prayed over Renee and I 12, 13, 14 years ago. When he prayed it, we were over, well, it wasn't, people didn't live there then. We were in a garage. And he prayed over us, and he just said that your ministry is going to be reconciliation. And Renee and I looked at each other, and we just said, oh, marriage. We just knew that it was that. And everything all just sort of tied together. But I just wanted to say that, that's something that we want to be talking about today, and that I really do believe that that is our calling. My favorite verse involves the numbers 11:25. Now, my daughter and some of my children think that's Corey's birthday, which it is. But if you put the word Mark in front of it, Mark talks about forgiveness too. It's the part of the Bible where it says you can move mountains. But first, before the mountains thing happens, you need to forgive everybody pretty much everything. So once again, that's become sort of my life deal. Also, Renee and I have noticed as it relates to relationships and reconciliation and forgiveness that what's being talked all around the land in all kinds of churches, not just this church, although it most definitely is in this church, but the places that we've been speaking lately when we've done some LAMB conferences and so on, that other churches are talking about reconciliation. They're talking about relationship. You know, the Lord gave us at our business a word this year, that this is the year of the relationship. And if we're about having better relationships, we have to be about reconciliation. And a lot of times as a church, we presume that that's something that we kind of do pretty good. It's the world that isn't doing as good a job. And this is not a common condemnation of the church. As I'm going to show you later, I'm a mess. I've got all kinds of people I need to reconcile to. I've got all kinds of stuff. But as I was preparing this message, it occurred to me that the church might have a little bit of reconciling to do with each other. Maybe even the person that's in your row right next to you. Don't look. Okay, go ahead, look. Yeah, you say, oh, wow, I got to fix something with him. But I do. There is a whole lot of that, and there's a reason why we need to be doing that. There's a reason why the church needs to have its reconciliation ducks in a row, its forgiveness ducks in a row. And is Marcy's closet open? Okay, thanks. Yeah, go ahead. All right, sorry about that, Marcy. No problem. But the reason why the church needs to be all about that and all about reconciliation is because there's something coming, everybody. Whatever it is that's coming, a lot of the prophetic words that we're hearing is there's something coming and we need to be ready and we need to be attractive and we don't have to change our values. We don't have to change what we believe and what the word is teaching us, but we have to be ready because people are going to be coming that have nowhere else to go and we need to be that beautiful, spotless bride that the Lord is asking us to be and that the people need so that when they do come and they're going to come, that we're ready for them and that we're relational. And I mentioned at the outset that there's other churches that are talking about it. I found something just 2 weeks ago. Not everybody loves what popes say, but I was raised Catholic, so I pay attention to what the Pope's saying every now and again. And the current Pope said, divisions among Christians, this is just 2 weeks ago, hurt the church and they wound Christ. During her journey through history, the church is tempted by the devil who tries to divide. She has been marred by serious and painful divisions. There are many brothers and sisters who share our faith in Christ but who belong to other denominations or traditions different from our own. Are we resigned or even indifferent to this division, or do we firmly believe that we can and must walk in the direction of reconciliation and full communion? Our preaching and our testimony will be all the more credible if we are able to live in communion and love each other. That's what his apostles understood. He goes on to talk about spiritual ecumenism. And when I came across that word, first thing I did was mispronounce it, you know, three times in a row. Then I emailed Bob and I said, ecumenism, what can you tell me about that? And most of you in the room might know what that means, but I had to look it up. But it's about getting along, folks. It's about the church getting along. And it's about, the Pope says, even if you disagree with our doctrine or this or whatever it is, can we get along? We all love Jesus, right? And that's, we want to be more attractive to the world. And we can be more attractive to the world. Today's message for me is Matthew chapter 5, 23 to 25. And I certainly didn't tell Henry that, so, but that's what it is. It reads, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go. First make things right with your brother and sister and then come back and offer your gift. Well, I have a gift that I want to offer today as it relates to talking about reconciliation and forgiveness. And Renee has a gift, but I want to make as many things right as I can. So I want to start first by taking the advice that's in that word. So, Kathy Veek, Jody Veek, can you come up? Folks, I present to you the Employee of the Month for 700 months running, Kathy Veek. And the amazing man that stands with her. I'll tell you a little bit about... That's right. I'd like to say a little something about Jody. Some of, I've probably mentioned it before, but I knew people that went to Living Waters before I attended Living Waters. But the first person that invited me to come to Living Waters was Jody. And he was the first person that actually handed an envelope in my hand and said, I want you to come. Now, the truth is I had already decided because I had met the Pullers, and so I was going to come. But I'm going to tattle on them. They didn't invite me. They didn't invite me, but Jody did. And it meant something to me. He put out his hand. He says, you want to be a member? I said, that would be great. He says, here's some information. He handed me the envelope, and he said, and the chairs need to be stacked over there. And so I did, and he did, and it's good. I'm still a chair stacker, thank you. The reason why I've asked Jody to come up here is because I'm going to do a reconciliation with Kathy, and I don't think it's appropriate for me to do something like that without your husband being around. And it's nothing that you did. It's something that I did. Now, if y'all look in your bulletins, you're going to find that there is the one that is about 1 through 5. I think it says on about reconciliation. It's right out of the Lamb manual. It's from Bethel. If any of you have taken Lamb, you know what I'm about to do. And but what it is, and I'm going to come here. Oh, no, let's come up here. Can you go up there? Okay. How is this best done? Are we okay here? Thank you. Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Got to tell you a story first, and I won't hold your hand the whole time and make you feel uncomfortable, but when was your daughter married?
Oh.
Is that 12 years ago, 14, 10?
10.
Okay, we'll say 10 years ago. And when your daughter was married, about in those days, I was on the admin board with you and with Henry and a few other people. And we were dealing with all kinds of interesting things. Everything that we did was uncharted territory. It's like, well, I don't know. There's no manual yet. So we were making it and all that sort of thing. But we were having one of our first weddings, if not the first wedding in this building, and it was your daughter. And you love your daughter. And you wanted it to be the very best possible thing. And there was a situation that had arisen because the fellowship hall was painted, and it was fine. The fellowship hall was fine, but it wasn't thought, might not have been put into, is this going to work for weddings and for other occasions and things like that. And so as an admin board, we went in there, and we just kind of looked at the situation, looked at the walls, and you go, well, the walls look painted to me. It all looks good. And I was about as sensitive as a boulder. I mean, I was totally insensitive. And as you were shook. You're going, you know, this is, we want to have a wedding here. We want it to be nice. And I stomped on your feelings. I truly did. I did. And you were getting a little bit emotional, like, because you love your daughter and you want it to be great. And I just sort of just said, what's the big deal? And I, to the point that an elder had to kind of take me aside and just say, hey, buddy, you were being a little bit insensitive here, and he kind of shut me down. Now, there's two things here. You may or may not remember that, but I've been carrying it for the last 10 years. Now, if you've been carrying it for 10 years, and this is an opportunity for us to make it right, but I can tell you for sure, either way, then it's been a waste of my time for sure that I didn't talk to you about this 10 years ago. But this isn't about me yet, but it is about you. I stomped on your feelings. I remember that I did. And you were upset. And I caused you pain in doing that. And you were shook up about the experience. And it caused me pain as I looked at your pain and thought about it for 10 years now. And I just want you to know that that's not who I am. And that's not who God's making me to be. And you, I honor you. You know I do. But for 10 years, I've just gone, I should really talk to Kathy about this. And so I just want you to know that I'm going to, in the future, keep a short rein on that sort of thing. And if I ever feel like I did something, I would tell you, did I hurt your feelings just now? Okay? And I do need to ask you, will you please forgive me?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't remember, but... Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Can we go now?
Yes, you can go now. Yeah. That was real. And no, I didn't tell Kathy what we were going to talk about. I just told her that we were going to talk about it. And there's something pertinent in all that, what we just did there. It really is that there hasn't been a time I've walked down the hall that I didn't say, hi, Kathy, how are you? Where I didn't walk a little bit further and go, oh, there's that thing that happened 10 years ago. Talk about not keeping short accounts and just walking in that. Now, can anybody in this room, by a show of hands, relate? Okay, most everybody. And some of you do an excellent job of just saying, you know, I think I might have stumbled into something. I might have done something. But that's what we wanted to share about a little bit. And what Renee's going to do something a little bit later. But what you've got in your folders there is something that can be cut out, put on your refrigerator. What we tried to do, what I tried to do with that, and I don't mean to be clinical about something that's important to me and on Kathy's behalf, but the forgiveness part that I was telling you about before when we were kids, admittedly, that's the part that we probably don't do a very good job at. As in the words, I forgive you, don't usually come out of our mouths. Now, in my household, when I was raised, I forgive you didn't come out ever. Ever, ever, ever. It was, I'm sorry, okay then. It was kind of like defeating your enemy. I would say, I'm sorry, and then the other person walks away the victor. I have won. Okay, you're sorry, so that'll be. And it's not about victory like that. It's not about just defeating your enemy. That last part, I forgive you. Kathy just broke chains off of me because of the enormous gift that she gave. Even though she said, no, I don't remember that. I was carrying chains. You know, we talk about in this church about breaking chains and dropping chains and so on. This is a tangible way that you can break off chains for yourself and for other people. And I need to tell you, as it relates to forgiveness and asking forgiveness, it's really blasted hard. It's really hard the first 3 seconds. Right after the words, I feel like I need to talk to you about something. It's all like a ride. Everybody do this. Whee! Woo! That was fun. I just wanted to see who would do that. It is like a ride. It is like a roller coaster ride once you get started. Once you're down the process of, I'm really sorry, I think I might have done something, and I think I might have hurt your feelings. After that, it's just one thing after another, it just all goes smoothly and it's not a problem. I encourage you, if you can get started on that and if you can get down to the bottom, and I encourage the rest of us who maybe somebody is walking up to and asking for forgiveness, that we remember to say these words that when I was raised seemed arrogant. I forgive you. Oh, it sounds silly. It's not arrogant. It is a gift. You're giving people a gift. I forgive you. You are releasing them from something. I want to share with you a story of a time when that happened in my life that is important as it relates to people outside these four walls. And then we'll bring Renee up here, and it's this. Some of you know that I have a child that you've never seen. I mean, some of my friends, people I work with and so on, I have a son named Josh who's Corey's age or near Corey's age. And it was pre-Jesus. It was back in the days before, the drinking days and so on. I was irresponsible. I was nobody that would be standing up here, that's for sure. And God has saved me from that. He's delivered me from that. But back in those days, I was irresponsible in so many ways. And one of the things that I did do was I had a son out of wedlock. And his name is Josh. And my responsibility to him over the years, for the most part, honestly, was financial. I paid child support. And that's what I did. And after many years went by with it always weighing on my mind, like what we were just talking about a few minutes ago, with a beautiful wife that was encouraging me to, Brian, you should contact him, you should, you know, make things right and so on. And through many, many years of that, when the time came that I made my last child support payment, I sent him a letter. And as best I possibly could, I was trying to begin the process of a reconciliation, saying, you might not want to even open this. You might not want to even read another word, but I just want you to know that you're 18 years old now, and there's a lot that's happened, and you might have a lot of questions, and I'd love the opportunity to talk to you. And then I mailed it, and I forgot about it. And time goes by, and the phone rings. That's my cell phone, my work cell phone. And it's him. He goes like this. Hi, this is Josh. And I was in my car, in my driveway of my house in Elk River, and I was like, I was shaking, like, okay, here we go. And I presumed that this individual, raised not in a Christian household, was going to rake me up one side and down the other. I had it coming. I deserved it. I could just go on and on. It would have been just fine. But he said, I'd like to have coffee with you. I said, okay. I went in the house. I was kind of doing a scared cartwheels, happy thing. Renee was ecstatic because she knew that I needed to make this right. And to this day, prays for even more reconciliation there. But I met and I had coffee with him, and I reconciled with him. I, to the best of my ability, in the list that you've got right there, I shared with him the destructive behavior. I know that I've caused you enormous pain, that I want you to know how the pain has affected me, what I think about what I've done to you, how I've changed. I'm not that person anymore. And I did ask him for forgiveness, and he forgave me. And it's extraordinary because he forgave me. He's 18 years old. He's unchurched. He just looked at me and he says, I forgive you. He just kind of shrugged his shoulders. And I walked out of that meeting kind of okay. That went better than I thought. And then a few days later, they invited us to his open house. And they invited all of us. So the only one not here is Michael. Michael was with us too. But the point is as my, do you recall? Yeah, Michael was there. Some Bell planes 10 years ago. So here we are. We're just more than that. And so here we are. We're getting into the car, and we're driving down there. And I'm driving my wife and family. Josiah was born. I'm driving my wife, their daughter, into enemy territory. And I mean that. I was literally driving them into enemy territory. We were invited to go. I presumed it would be tough. We were going to be at someone's house where the father, the grandfather, had threatened my life years ago and meant it. Where and whatever. It was ugly. It was a very dangerous situation. And so I was taking my wife into a situation that they did not raise her to marry into. And we went in, though. And my wife was beautiful and amazing and brave. And we parked the car outside there. And this is, I'd like to convey to you what was born out of that reconciliation. We parked down the street, the last car out of all these cars on the street, typical open house. And the garage was open. There's about 7,500 people there, and they had the overhang thing there where everybody puts all their food, and there's chairs everywhere and people sitting down. And we got out of the car, and Renee got out, and Corey and Michael, and one of us is holding Josiah, and we're walking hand in hand and just go, well, here we go, this is it. And we're walking in, and we're all fine. And what I expected to happen was scary. What happened next was amazing. This non-church family, the father that threatened to kill me, you know, years earlier, got up, pulled his chair out, dusted it off, and said, here, little missy, looking at Renee, please sit right here. Take my chair. So he did, and Renee came over and sat down, and I was just kind of watching. And then he started rearranging the furniture and making a spot for my family. And then he started telling people that, oh, here, I want you to meet Brian. This is his wife, Renee. And then they're introducing people. And then his wife came over and did the same. And then all of a sudden, the silence in the room changed to, oh, okay, I guess this is okay. He doesn't seem to have horns and all that stuff. And so they, one thing led to another, and it was an amazing, amazing experience. And we were there for about an hour, and it was okay, and there were occasional hugs, and it was good. And then as we left, my chains left behind as well. People that are in sales, I've talked to some of you about this. There used to be places I was afraid to go. I would be afraid to go on a sales call in that part of, you know, Dakota County and that part of Minnesota. And I left there. I've driven through there now 100 times. It's like I'm in freedom. I'm walking in total freedom. They released us. We were forgiven. A reconciliation took place. And I tell that particular story not because it makes me look good, because it doesn't. But I tell that story because the world sometimes can do a better job of reconciling than even we are right now. And so the message is, and I'm not, you know, maybe some of you are doing a great job, but the message is we need to be about reconciliation with each other to the very best of our ability. I need to not go 10, 12 years before I tell somebody I might have hurt your feelings or that I might have, well, I'm going to pause myself. So that's what I wanted to share today, and I do need to turn it over to you. Do you have a second? Come on down.
Doing what the Lord asks us to do opens doors for us. I loved in the worship song today, no one whose hope is in the Lord will be put to shame. And when the Lord tells us to keep short accounts, when he tells us to reconcile with one another, when he tells us to forgive, we don't have to fear that it'll be shame for us. And even, you know, we would love to say, if you follow these five easy steps, people will respond exactly like that for you. And that may not be, but that doesn't matter. Because whether or not they had responded to us that way or not, it still released Brian. It still released him to be able to make that right and to be able to acknowledge. And, you know, Josh is an atheist. That's his claim. And yet, there was healing brought to him through that process. And we believe that the Lord's going to continue to minister to that, that there's going to be continued doors that'll open. But we need to be willing to do what the Lord asks us to do. One of the things that we just cannot get off of is that God values relationship. It is so central to his character. And specifically, it is so central to his character to have reconciled relationship. His entire interaction with us is about reconciled relationship. So we have this schism that happened in the garden. And that schism happened between God and man. This division that happened. There was something that was disconnected. And it needed to be reconciled. And the entire word of God, through the Old Testament, into the New Testament, and Jesus coming, was about reconciling that. Because it really matters to God. Another schism happened in the garden when the first sin entered, and that was between man, between mankind. There was a sharing that Adam and Eve had prior to sin that was completely and wholly connected. And what happened right away when sin entered in, when God says, you know, what have you done? And Adam says, she's the one, she did it. And this disconnect happens in relationship between mankind. And so God values not only the reconciliation that we have between us and God, which I think is so awesome. My dad spoke last week on the reconciliation between us and God, that we continually need to come to that place where we're reconciling and staying connected to God. And he values the reconciliation that we have between one another. It's important to him. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:18. Or you don't have to look, you can just listen. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have the ministry of reconciliation. That is our role on earth in a huge way, is to reconcile others to God, to create relationship with them, to create an example, to create the ability for them to see how to reconcile with God. And how can we do that if we don't know how to reconcile with one another? How can we do that when we don't know how to connect with one another, when there's been something that's happened that's brought a disconnect? We have this ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He is pleading through us to be reconciled to God. And there's an aspect of that that also is about being reconciled to one another. It makes a way to be able to do that in relationship, makes a way. Now, this information here, this five-step process to perfect relationship, there's nothing magic about this. This concept is completely scriptural. It's not like it has to look exactly like this. But this has been found to be a very good tool to create reconnection when something happens in a relationship. Quite often, even if we get good at saying, I did this, will you forgive me? And the other person may even say, I forgive you. But sometimes the pain of what's happened goes beyond just the thing that I did. I'm acknowledging that. But one thing that's really helpful about this model, if you look at number two, is that this is the pain that I believe I put you through because of what I did. We're acknowledging, I know, I see you. I see and I value how this affected you. Not just, yeah, I know, I did this thing, and now I have to say I'm sorry, and you have to forgive me, and then we're all good. But I see you. I know you. I know your heart. I care about your heart. I care about how what I did affected you. What talks at number three, this is how I feel about putting you through that pain. That's harder. That's harder to do, to go, okay, I need to, how can I describe to you how I feel about this without making it about me? That's one of the things that we sometimes don't do well in reconciliation, is that we want to reconcile, but we also kind of want to justify. We want to reconcile, but we kind of want to make sure they know why we did that. This is what, you know, I hadn't slept that night, and this was going on, and that was going on. And to some degree, that's all, it's good, but to some degree, it devalues their pain and what they experienced. The Bible talks about preferring one another. And in this reconciliation, I am preferring the other person's pain. I am preferring it and saying, this is the most important thing to me right now, what you experienced. I am fully connecting with that without justification, without wanting you to see my pain. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, to be willing to set aside my pain so that I can just connect with yours and say, okay, I understand how that made you feel. Especially when we know sometimes it's not going to be reciprocated. There are relationships, you know, in my marriage relationship, very rarely do we ever have a reconciliation that isn't dual purpose or goes both ways. So I might come to Brian and I'll reconcile something, and typically, not always, but typically he'll go, okay, and I know that what I said hurt you. And that I, you know, but oftentimes in other relationships, especially if they weren't here to get this awesome tool, it's not going to be reciprocated. And so we need to be willing. Can we do that? Can we love sacrificially in that way? Can we say, right now, I'm going to focus on you and value your emotions and what you experienced, knowing that you may not do the same thing for me? That is the kind of extravagant, over-the-top love that the Lord is calling us to have. You know, it talks about in John 13:34, love as I have loved you. And it comes back to the verse we looked at in 2 Corinthians, love as I have loved you, because you are ambassadors here. And how did he love us? That we were yet sinners, but he forgave us. Can we do that for other people? Can we love other people even though, can I cop to my part in a relational schism even if they're not willing to do their part right now? And can I trust God that when I choose his way, that I won't be put to shame in that, that it's the right way? The other aspect of that is that using a model like this where we're acknowledging not just the action but the pain or the effect of the action is it opens the door for that person to receive healing in a greater way. Because now it's not just focused on this was my behavior and I'm sorry for it, but it's focused on I see the pain that it caused you, and it opens the door to let the Lord minister to that pain in their life. It's an amazing gift that we can give another person, and then for them to be able to forgive us is an amazing gift. So we have been so immersed right now in the high standard of relationship that the Lord's calling us to. It's just something we just can't get away from. He continues to, and it's so hard. It's hard to go, okay, I need to think relationally. I need to think about how this is affecting relationship. I need to value relationship. When we talk about where your treasure is, I need to value those relationships above the other things, above cleaning my house. That's actually not very hard for me. I really hate to clean my house. But we need to value those things, because those, even the concept of relationship, that is a kingdom concept. That is something that God puts high value on. And so one of the things, as we're working through just, you know, what we want to see happening in community here in the body through small groups, is we are striving for and seeking God for true relationship, true intimacy that allows us to come to one another in vulnerability, that allows us to screw up and then to know how to fix it when we screw up. You know, one of the things about us and the church is that it really is so easy for us to be in relationship in a body, and we get our feelings hurt, or we hurt someone else's feelings, or whatever it is, and really we can just go somewhere else. We can just kind of go, okay, well, you know, that church really wasn't, it didn't fit me, or I grew out of it, or whatever. But sometimes it's that we just don't know how to reconcile relationship. We don't feel connected anymore because we got hurt, or because we hurt somebody else, and we don't know how to reconnect that. And so we go on to the next place. And sometimes God calls us on to another place. I'm not saying, you know, we've so far kind of been lifetime members here, but that's not because we don't think that you should ever go to different churches. But there's an aspect of really looking at, do I know how to reconnect in relationships when there's a disconnect? Do I know how to, when the Holy Spirit highlights something to me, that's going to be part of your homework this week, and nobody's going to check it, but is to ask the Holy Spirit, what is something I need to reconcile this week? Who is somebody that I know I've hurt and that you want me to reconcile? And you can trust the Holy Spirit even in the timing. You can trust the Holy Spirit to bring that person to mind when it's right, when the timing is right, to bring that reconciliation. And as Brian said, getting past the first few words like, I really need to talk to you about something. That's the hardest part, is just opening the door or calling them up and saying, okay, this is what I did. I acknowledge this is what I did. Look at number one. This is what I did wrong, or what I did that hurt you. Sometimes we're super caught up on right and wrong. So in a relationship, I can say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. You were late. I didn't do anything wrong to bring that up and to say that bothered me, that you said you're going to be at home at this time and you got home at this time. But it's not about right and wrong. One of the things that transitioned for us coming into life after Christ is that the standard is no longer about this is right and this is wrong. Now the standard is really, to some degree, am I loving? Am I honoring you? Am I preferring you? Am I in relationship with you in a way that is not hindered in any way? And so it's not about right and wrong. It's how am I affecting you? If I know that the way that I talked about that he came home late or whatever hurt him because I was abrupt or I was unkind, it's not about right and wrong. And I think there's an aspect of being willing to put the relationship above our ego, to put the relationship above our justification, to put the relationship above the place of saying, I have every right to feel that way. You know, you should check out the Bible about what our rights are. It's just not quite the same as sort of the American viewpoint, or even just a human viewpoint. I have the right to feel that way. I have the right to respond that way. If we look at how Jesus responded, what rights did he have except that he gave them up completely? Every right that he had. We have the right to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's not a right, that's just who we are. And we can stand in that place. But as it relates to what our rights are in relationship, we need to be really mindful. What are we treasuring in that? Prefer one another in love, okay? It's the verse in 1 John 4:7. I think it's like 4:20, but it starts in 4:7. I'll look quick. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this is the love of God that was manifest toward us, that God sent us his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So it's just describing, to me, it's describing this standard of love. Anyone who loves knows God. And if you don't love, you don't know God. And this is what that love looks like. It is completely unattainable on our own. It is completely impossible for us to love that way on our own. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, if he loved us this way, we also ought to love one another. Let's look at verse 20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So here's this verse that, it's an interesting word, hate. Because when I read that, I go, well, I don't hate anybody. I mean, really, hate seems so horrible. Like, we don't even say hate at our house. We're not allowed to say hate. Unless you're 13 and you hate things. But we don't say that word. I don't like that, but we don't say hate. However, if we look at what hate, it's, you know, translated into English from a Greek word, meseo, it means to love less, to esteem less, to love someone or something less than someone or something else. Wow. Okay. My standard for hate, God's standard for hate. I have hated someone. I love what the word draws us into. I love the standard of life that it draws us into. And I love, more than that, the grace that it gives us to accomplish those things. God doesn't give us a command without giving us the grace to accomplish it. So we need to know, just like when my dad was talking last week about, we are the righteousness of God. Yes, that's true. The same is true. We are love. Because love comes from God and God is in us. And we need to align with that, align with what that looks like. Sometimes it looks like walking through reconciliation. One of the things I want to do on the other side, this is another way that we can receive healing. So let's say you did awesome on your homework this week, and you called up everybody that you needed to reconcile with, or you had coffee or whatever. These are people that you know that you've maybe hurt. Sometimes they remember, sometimes they don't, but you know now that it's settled, that you've acknowledged it, that they've forgiven you. So let's say there's things that have happened to you that nobody is going to do this with you on. They might be dead. You might no longer be in relationship with them. They may not come to church and get this really cool tool. So are you just stuck with the pain of that? Are you just stuck with, I have to just have this. And there's an aspect of being able to forgive one another. I think we know that God calls us to forgive. We need to remember that forgiveness is a discipline, not a feeling. It's a discipline, like any of the other things that God says, this is what Christian life looks like. It's a discipline. And so sometimes you go, you know, but I just don't feel it. I still have this tremendous amount of pain. I still have this tremendous amount of hurt. And part of it's because they maybe haven't done this. Not only have they not said, yeah, I did something wrong, but they also haven't acknowledged how it affected me. Nobody sees it. Nobody sees my pain. And that's a hard place for us to be. Because even if we've said, okay, I forgive that person, sometimes that still wreaks havoc in us. It still hinders our decisions. It still makes us not trust. It's still renting space in our head, as Brian would say. And so this is a really cool tool. We use this with Single Life Workshop, which is also out of Bethel. Barry and Lori Byrne, they did the Love After Marriage, which is the marriage version, and then they did Single Life Workshop. And so this is basically the same model. Father, thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Because of your forgiveness, I also forgive this person. And go beyond, number one, go beyond the behavior and begin to allow the Lord to really show you, how did this affect me? How did this hurt me, this thing that they did? You can receive the same kind of release and healing that you can receive through reconciliation, through just choosing to forgive. And forgiving, maybe you've already done this. You go, yeah, I've already forgiven that person. Well, try this. Try acknowledging what it's done to you in your life. Try acknowledging the pain and speak it out loud. I forgive them for the wrong behavior that was done, but more than that, I forgive them for the effects on my life and what was stolen from me by the enemy. You know, when we talk about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the things that were stolen from you by that person's actions, that's from the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Your wrestling is not with that person. And so we can acknowledge it and say, this is what was stolen from me. You can forgive them for fears that it brought in, or opening doors to anger, or self-hatred, or worthlessness, or impurity. Forgive them for the pain of living with the effects of these things. So you're just saying out loud, you're acknowledging your own pain. You're acknowledging how it affected you. And you're allowing the Lord to come in and minister healing, because you say, okay, I'm going to let go of this. When we talked about, what are you willing to put on the altar? What are you willing to put on the altar that causes you fear or distrust or hurt or pain? That's what you're doing. You're saying, okay, I'll put this on the altar. So a lot of people that we've walked through this said, that was the last time I ever cried about that thing again. That they allowed themselves to feel it. They allowed themselves to acknowledge, this is how it affected me. They cried about it, and it was gone. It wasn't able to hurt them anymore. It opened the door to bringing healing. God wants us whole in every way. And so these are, take this with you. I think we have some more on the back, or the ushers have them. This is a great tool to use with other people who are really hurting. You could say, hey, could I walk you through forgiving your dad? Would you be willing to let me walk you through that? What an awesome gift to stand alongside someone and say, I want to stand with you in this. Can I walk you through this? I had some things that talks about what forgiveness offers to us or how it releases us. But if you come to the Sozo intro, you will get a much more comprehensive teaching on that, because there's a huge portion of Sozo that has to do with forgiving and the effects of forgiving on how we even view God and how we relate to God, because we're willing to forgive another person. So I want to encourage you. I just want to pray for us, because we're out of time. I want to encourage you that I think, ask the Lord, open yourself up and say, Lord, help me to value relationship the way that you value relationship. Because that's really where I got to. I could see in the word that it was important to God. I could see that it was important for us as the church as a whole, to have an understanding of this, to know how to be in community, to know how to be in relationship. But I really just did not have the value for it that I knew that God did. And so I even had to pray, help me even want this. Relationship feels messy. Relationship feels inconvenient. Relationship feels like I'm going to have to like be vulnerable and transparent. And I don't get to self-protect. And I don't get to just do what I want to do. And I had to ask the Lord, help me desire this. I'm willing to have you change me in this way. And he has. It's a mess. I am sloppy crying about how much I love the body. I am hurt on behalf of the body when I hear people talking badly about the body, because I love you all and the body so much. Even when we're screwing up, even when the body's doing stuff, not this body, anybody, anybody, even when the body's doing stuff that I go, oh, no, that's not. But I just love them. And I have faith and hope in what God's doing in the body. So ask the Lord. Because I know that as the church, if we fail to demonstrate this kind of love in our churches and in our families and to the world, that we will not accomplish the mission that we're here to do, to bring heaven to earth in this place. And we will give the world a reason to disbelieve the gospel, to disbelieve the gospel and its effect. Jesus can't be the name above every other name if his people can't be in unity, if we don't know how to connect with one another. So I want to pray over us. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would impart to us the very heart and nature of God in this. That you would impart to us the Father's heart that so valued reconciliation, that so valued relationship, that he pursued it extravagantly with his people, that he gave extravagantly for the sake of reconciliation, for the sake of reconnection with us. I thank you, Lord, that your word does not return void. And I ask that through the word that was spoken today, that we would receive not only a desire, but an ability to love in this way. That we would no longer be comfortable allowing things to be between us as couples. We would no longer be comfortable allowing things between us in families. We would no longer be comfortable allowing things between us as brothers and sisters in Christ. That we would no longer be comfortable allowing things between us, even with those that are in the world, that we would be able to demonstrate the reconciliation of Christ through our heart that's turned toward reconciliation. I ask you, Lord, to impart to us the ability. For some of us, I ask to impart the desire, and I release courage in Jesus' name, that we would have courage this week and in the weeks to come to be vulnerable, to be transparent, to minister reconciliation to one another. That we would have courage to face those places that we need to apologize, and we'd have courage to face those places that we need to allow true forgiveness to happen so that we can move into the things that you have for us. We thank you, Jesus, that since you've asked us to do this, you've also given us everything we need to love one another wholly and completely. We ask you to teach us in this, to school us in this. And we pray that this would be an ongoing dialogue in the body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Boy, that's Christianity 101. All this stuff that we've made, the faith, bottom line is love. and love is reconciliation. We're going to have some teams up here. Brian, Renee, will you guys be available to pray? And we've got some teams that are just excited to pray for you. There may have been something that got really touched deep in you through the service today. You know, can I just make a disclaimer? The worship team didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know what Brian and Renee were going to do. I didn't know what I was going to do. But did you hear the thread of the heartbeat of God this morning? Did you hear the urgency of the Spirit this morning about taking care of relational dynamics and how important it is to God? I'm glad I didn't know, because you couldn't, if I tried to orchestrate something like this, I'd blow it. I'd mess it up. Hear the heartbeat of the Father. And for some of you, that may mean coming to the altar and having somebody help you through some reconciliation. It may mean coming to the altar and just being transparent with something that's in your life. For some of you, it may mean just being set free from perceived things. It really doesn't matter. Jesus just wants to see a free and a holy bride. So we'll have teams up here. Let's stand together. Father, I want to thank you, God. You are awesome. Your people are awesome. What you see in your bride is awesome. God, as we ponder this word of reconciliation, as we just really see the depths of the way you want us to walk and to rightly represent your heart and your will, your ways, Father, would you just move among us? Continue to bring grace, God, that grace that makes a proclamation of favor over us, but that also gives us that favor that enables us to do things that we can't do on our own. God, that's what grace does. So, Father, I pray your grace over each of us. I know there were many of us that were just hearing things and we were being turned in our inner man on some things. So, God, we thank you that you're about setting at liberty your kids. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Higher call tonight at 6:30. Come on and check it out. There's coffee out in the lobby. Bless one another. Give somebody a hug.